Praise God. Why don't we stand up one more time? Glory to God. We praise you. Amen. We praise the name of Jesus. It's been a great morning so far. It's going to be greater yet. Amen. We're just trying to find out where we're going to be landing tonight. I'm not sure yet. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands up like this and say, thank you, Jesus. You are wonderful. Thank you, Lord God. You are mighty. You are my keeper, my protector, my healer, my provider. You lead and guide me always. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to put the Word of God into me, to put seed into me, to water the seed. We give you praise for what it will do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, be seated. Thank you for that great praise team. I'm enjoying the praise. Wonderful to get to come into a place where God is alive. Amen. Where God is working. And you don't want to go somewhere where there's no praises. Everybody's sad, you know, and they're looking for God. I wonder if he's going to show up today. God's always here, amen? He's always here. He'll never forsake us. Last Wednesday, we started a new series again. We said, don't get caught into a trap, and that's the devil's trap, and we talked about overcoming offenses. And I was going to carry on that vein this morning, but the Lord began to stop me this morning and gave me a word for you this morning, fresh from heaven. And I want to share with you Christ in you. Christ in you. If you all go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, I'm reading the King James Version. I want to remind you, we're going to be having a conference. It's going to be for 5 days. So how many days are we having this?
Five
days. And so we're going to have a great time. We're going to start on Wednesday. Anyway, we have Wednesday service. Anyway, and I thank God, you know, we're hovering around the 100 mark on every Wednesday, so we need to double that up and come to almost 200, amen, come to a Wednesday night service, and so we have a full service on Wednesday, so I want to ask you to invite a friend Wednesday nights. It's a wonderful time to come to church midweek. It's a long week sometimes, and sometimes some of you, if you miss one service, you're going to miss a whole week. If you miss two services, you miss 2 weeks. And tonight is leadership. Is it leadership tonight? Yeah, we got leadership. They tell me it's leadership. And so tonight is leadership. And in leadership development, leadership essentials, we teach on the principles of leadership. And we teach you the practical ways in which you can help be a helper. And we teach you people skills. How to work with people. Some people don't know how to help in the church. They just bring their own agendas and bring all their garbage with them, and they want to help you the way they think they can help you. But we want to tell you how to help us and how to help the church and what kind of person you need to be and how to act and how to help people so you don't hurt people. And so you don't get hurt either. Because if you start building an internal leadership ability, you begin to understand that sometimes people can be, they might bite you. So you have to have a thick skin and understand so you don't get offended. Anybody ever been offended in church? Well, there's six of you, and that's why we preached to you last Wednesday. But thank God, we're going to teach you that. We're going to teach you different things. So we teach... Over the years, since 2000, my wife and I, when we graduated from Raymond Bible Training Center, by the way, we have, this will be our 20th year that we've graduated from Raymond Bible Training College in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we're going to be making our way there this February and be having a meal with the Higgins and all the rest of us who were in that year, 2000, we graduated. And so we're excited about going down. But the only thing that we kind of have some anticipation about is when we leave here, there's usually storms waiting for us over in Ohio, somewhere on there, Minnesota. But every year, over the last 5 years, we've had a time with the weather. So you need to pray for us. Pray for the roads. Pray for the American government to clear the snow. And so last year, my wife and I was coming down, and we got stuck for 2 days. We almost got stuck for 3 days. We were in Clear Lake, Iowa, and we got familiar with the place, and we looked around the area, and we noticed there's some famous people who went by there and had concerts and stuff. There was a famous guy by the name of Buddy Holly who played his last concert there, the Big Bopper, and so on. They had a big concert there. Apparently, they used to have huge concerts in that area. And so we went to visit. They had a nice big museum there and so on. But of course, if you're stuck somewhere, you got to find something to do. And everything was closed. Absolutely everything shut down. There's snow everywhere. You couldn't get on the interstate. There was police guarding it. You cannot get on there. Plus, it was a lot of snow. And so Pastor Ken and I, we've had some really wonderful experiences driving in Kansas City, actually. There was so much snow. You couldn't believe that you would have that much snow. And just like here. But it's in February. So if you would send up a prayer or two for us, it would be appreciated if you agree with us. And we're not getting into trouble this year. And so Pastor Steve is going, I guess, as well. Pastor Ken, you're not coming this year. Praise God. You're going to have to stay home and take care of the fort. Praise God. But help Miss Cindy a little bit. So anyway, so I want to invite you to come to the conference. We're going to have 5 days in April, and it's an Easter weekend. And so we're having a good slew of people coming in, 5 speakers actually. I'll start off the time on Wednesday. I'm going to open it up. I might not either, but I you know, depends on, you know, I just feel like sometimes if I have a conference, I don't want to do the speaking, but they told me that you should speak. So I'm just asking the Lord what to do, but the Lord says, yeah, you better do it. And so sometimes you just like to sit down and relax. And so we have a number of guys coming. It's going to be a great time. And we're going to also have taping during that session. We're going to tape some of the guys in the studio and tape the live sessions here. We're going to have a panel discussion on ministry and how effective ministry is and some of our, you know, First Nations communities and why things are happening like they're happening. And so we want to get people to, if you know anybody that would benefit from something like that, we're going to have a big feast, right? We're going to have a big feast on Saturday. So come and enjoy. If you ever want to enjoy a nice professional meal, a nice traditional meal, come on in. And I'll tell you, they make the beaver taste so wonderful. And so you won't even think it's like a beaver. You say, what is this wonderful food? It's from heaven. So anyway, so I promise you, it's going to be a very good meal. And you come there and enjoy that. Send people. Also, Friday night is Spirit Alive evening, so we're going to have a fellowship night. We're going to have the service, of course, and we have afterward a fellowship at the fellowship hall, and we're going to invite guests to come in. So, by the way, another exciting thing happened. We just bought a building, and we bought a building in Geraldton of all places. We bought a building, Faith City Church, Geraldton, and we need you to help us out. How many of you can help us out? About eight more people lift their hands, same guys as last time. And so we want to buy about 250 chairs for this church. And so it's a $45 chair. So if you would like to buy one or two chairs, Robbie, well, he's so intently looking at me, I know he agrees with me. But we want to sow seed into them and believe God that maybe someday that chair will be a sign that, Father, I want to believe for my wife to come to church. I want to believe for my son to be in the church one day. I'm sowing a seed of salvation, or I'm sowing a seed that one day, here's my faith, release my faith. This is a good way to release your faith. You don't have to do that, mind you, to believe God for your children. But it's just a token of belief that you can do that. So if you do that, we're going to be taking an offering somewhere along the line. So you can save your money now. And if you want your whole, all your family from there, Some of you have large families. You could buy like a dozen chairs. No problem. And it'll be wonderful, right? Girls, praise God. Amen. So do that, please. Amen. So why don't we stand up again and pray? No, I'm just kidding you. Okay. Okay, let's go to our scripture verse here. We want to talk about Christ in you, the title of our message, Jesus is Living in Me. And let's go to Colossians 1:27. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. You know, Paul was a missionary, apostle. Apostle means missionary. He's a sent one to bring the word and to establish churches. You know, apostles, they established churches. They built churches up and they built people up for the kingdom of God. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You know, he's talking about the Gentiles who are not within the Jewish nation, but everybody else called Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I mean, there's so much to talk about when we talk about that. The point is we're trying to make is that Jesus lives inside of you right now. Woo! Glory to God. This guy's such a jolt out of that. Jesus lives inside of me. I remember a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth years ago. He used to say, you know, he raised up, I believe it was 11 people from the dead. And I think 9 were actually recorded. And he raised 10 people who died. And he used to walk around and get up in the morning and look in the mirror and said, God lives inside that man. Amen? God lives inside of that man. It's hard to go around sinning when you know God lives inside you. Half of the things you're doing wrong will stop when you know this. So the whole message this morning is that God resides in each one of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. God resides in each one of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. As an introduction, let me just say these things, that some people in the church are always trying to get a hold of God. They're trying to locate God as if he was missing. And where is God? You know, I can't feel him. And they want a sign. They want some kind of feeling. You know, when I got born again, I don't know about you, but this is my experience. Yours might be different, of course. And I got born again, and it seemed like that God came in such power. It was like when I got filled with the Spirit, it was like the day of Pentecost, lights and everything else, wind and whatever, shaking. The power of God came upon me in such a spectacular fashion that I thought, this is the rest of my life, I'm going to live this way. And every once in a while, I'd be worshiping in church, and the power of God would come upon me, and I would shake, and I would just have such a wonderful feeling. But after I got a little bit older, that feeling wasn't there like that anymore. It was just a little bit, I could just sense a little bit. You know, I always sense the presence of God. But I often wondered what happened. Did I do something bad? You know, God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to walk by feelings. He wants us to walk by principles. He wants us to walk by the Word of God. Right, students? Well, praise God. Right? Mr. Astro? Praise God. Houston. Okay. So these people are always looking for God. To them, he seems like he's far away. But he really is not far away. The greater one lives in each one of us right now. God personally dwells within each believer as soon as he accepts Jesus as their Savior and Lord under the new covenant. In the Old Testament, God promised to indwell each of us and fellowship with us and to be our God. Understanding this will revolutionize your life completely. You can now have fellowship with God, and he'll speak to you personally about everything you need to know in this life. He expects you also to read his word and to get to know his spirit, to understand him. Let's go over here to Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. This is a promise in the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, God promised by his prophets. He said in here, Ezekiel 36, 20, 26, the New King James Version, or the King James Version, he said, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put in you. God said under the old covenant, he said, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. Then, you know, we read over later on in the New Testament. Well, remember this. He said, a new spirit I'll put in you. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became reborn. Your spirit was injected with new life. The old life passed away and a new life has come. Today, you're not the same person you were before you accepted Jesus. You're a different person. God doesn't see that old person that existed before. You are now joined with God. You're with God. God is in you. And so don't look at yourself any longer as that old sinner. People like to say this, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're a new person in Christ. There's no such thing in the Bible that says that. You're a new person. You're brand new. You're a brand new baby. And some of you have still stayed babies. I see that you left your soother at home. Okay. He said, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Stony heart. God said, I'm going to take that out of you, and I'll give you a new heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive to God. I don't know about you, when I got born again, I was 24 years old. I grew up as a Catholic, as a Roman Catholic. I went to church every day, every week, without a question. If I was drinking, if I had a party that night, I'd still go to church in the morning. I wanted to go to church because I felt, I was taught, you know, I had to go and confess my sins every week. I went to the priest, and I confessed my sins every week. But I was always afraid that I'd never meet church, because if I died without receiving any absolution from the priest, I would die and go to hell. I had that feeling all the time in me. And when I got born again, I was 24 years old. I just finished college and starting my own life. The moment I got born again, I knew something happened to me. The Bible says, Jesus said, I think the fifth chapter of the book of John, I think in the 24th verse, he said, we pass, from death to life. We come from darkness into light. And the moment I got born again, somebody turned on the switch and everything became bright. You know, there's a song called I Saw the Light. That's a true song. Anybody remember the song? I don't know who wrote it. Somebody said it's Hank Williams. I'm not sure if that's true. But he was raised a Christian, and he died, in his car, apparently. But the light came on. And Matthew 4:16 said there's people who were in the prison saw a great light. And he's talking about Jesus coming. The prophet was speaking about Jesus coming. And that he spoke that from the Old Testament. He's quoting that scripture from the Old Testament. The people who sat in the region of darkness saw a great light. So when we get born again, light comes into us. The Bible said we are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and we have the light in us. Don't you know that you have the light in you? And as I got born again, I didn't realize how depressed I was, how much junk I had. And when I got born again, I began to cry, and I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know why I was crying. I just felt so wonderful, so good, and smiling all the time. And like my cousin said, I had a cousin who was on the street. He's downtown Port Arthur, drinking. And he said he's been asking for God, looking for God. And he said, I heard music. I'm downtown. He said, I went to the priest over downtown. I knocked on his door. He said, I'm I'm about to end my life. I'm gonna commit suicide, so I better go and talk to the priest first. He knocked at the door downtown Port Arthur, and he says, I want to talk to somebody. I want to end my life, and so on. And the priest says, I'm cooking right now. You come back later. it's kind of crazy, you know. But he said he was just overtaken. Then he said, I walked back and I heard music, beautiful music. And he said, I followed that music. It was so wonderful. I followed it from downtown Port Arthur. I came to Secor Street. I came to a house, a church, and it said Faith City Church. I came in there and I got born again. Hallelujah. I heard the message of Jesus Christ. I got saved. And that's a true story. He told me this. I don't think he'd lie. I heard different people say different things like that. But how many people know you have to continue to walk with God? You can't just say, I'm born again. I can just do whatever I want to do. So it just felt like, at that moment when I got born again, I just sensed my spirit. I was released. There's great joy in me. There's no depression. Depression's gone. And I was just walking around happy for a while. And it was just such joy to have death taken out of you and life put into you, to take darkness out of you and put light into you. Felt so wonderful. Born again experience was just powerful. I heard about God all my life. I heard just about God all my life, but I didn't know, like I was like the rest of the people, God is somewhere far away. I wish I could get a hold of him and talk to him. And so a lot of us were like that. So the Bible says that God said, Ezekiel said, I put a new spirit in you. So those of you that accept Jesus, you have a brand new heart. God's given you a brand new heart. Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go read several verses of scripture to 21. We'll get the good thought in here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what he was talking about, Ezekiel, a new creation. You're brand new. On the inside, you might look disheveled this morning, but you're beautiful on the inside. Amen. You brush your teeth this morning? I hope so. At least wash your eyelids. Get up in the morning. So you can see straight, eh? if you're a cowboy, you just wash your eyelids. Get up in the morning. So he said, all things are passed away. All things become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God became our friend. He friended us. I don't care how many people get unfriended on Facebook. Jesus friended you. Amen? That's what it says in other verses, that God friended me. He became my friend. And he says here, Jesus had given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what is going to be our conference. I'm just going to throw that in right now. It's a ministry of reconciliation. All of us have been given the ministry. Every one of you have a ministry. You want to walk around, what's my ministry? What's my ministry? It's a ministry of reconciliation. That's telling people that God loves them. There was somebody in my Facebook said, so many pastors today don't preach about sin. And I was taught, I don't believe you're all sinners. Are you sinners? Well, I'm talking to believers. Sunday morning, I'm a pastor. This is my flock. If you happen to jump in here this morning, I'm treating you as part of them. Okay? And so I'm not going to teach on sin. I'm going to teach you about who you are. You're a brand new person. I said, you're a brand new person. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. You're a brand new person. You're not the same old wino. You used to be a wino, but now you're not. You're the new winos. Some people, I saw them drunk in the spirit as they walked in here, laughing outside. Of course, I don't ask them what's wrong. The chiefest of them all was Florence. She's the chief drunk. He's going, he said, what are you laughing at? I don't know. It's wonderful. That's okay. We'll see you later. Some of you like that. You'd like to jump right in. But God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus, sending Jesus. He made friends with us. Had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. See, God didn't need you to help him out so that you can become good, to be accepted. So there's nothing you can do as far as good works is concerned, so God will accept you into heaven. God did it through Jesus. Your job is to accept Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. You don't have to, like in my church before, I used to, you know, we used to do different things so that God will accept us. And then in my native religion, it's the same thing. We have to do all these gymnastics so that to cleanse ourselves and to be accepted by God. It's hard for humans to recognize that Jesus did it all. He did it all. He was the ultimate sacrifice. You don't have to light a candle anymore. You don't have to whatever they do to be accepted by God in different religion. How many of you can recognize what I'm talking about? Because some of my brothers, I mean, I accept people. Like, I understand where people are at. I'm not making fun of anybody. And I understand this. I told people, I don't have to go, you know, to do these religious things, whether you're Christian or not. I mean, whether you're, you know, in my First Nation, we do certain things so that to cleanse ourselves and to do different things to so that God will accept us. Jesus is the you know, stops all that because he's the one that is the ultimate sacrifice. And it's hard for man to try to accept it because they think they have to do something to be accepted by God. God loved you before you were even born. God knew you before you were even born. He wrote down, the Bible says in Psalm 139, all your days are written in a book. All your days are written in a book. When I got born again, I met a man who used to be, he was a medicine man. It happened to me, I met this woman. She was my counselor at college. She got married to this man who was born again. He was a long line of chiefs and medicine people. And he began to coach me and told me about his story and how God changed his life and how he had to take his drum and all the stuff that he used and to burn it and so on. And he became, after he became a Christian. Now, he did it only just because that he wanted to end that life. He didn't want to do that anymore. Like some of you done that, the same thing. Like for me, I took all my Elton John records when I got born again and threw them in the fire. 20 years later, I bought them back. I'm downloading all these things for, you know, iTunes. Okay, what did I miss there? Okay. But you know, I'm talking about, I had to leave that life completely. And so this man, he told me that's what he had to do. And he said that we used to try to curse other people with different spirits, with what they call bad medicine, and these spirits would come back and said, we cannot go penetrate. There's something fire around these people. The blood of Jesus. I said, the blood of Jesus protects you. I said, the blood of Jesus protects you. Amen. Remember when Israel left Egypt and they were coming to spy out the land, they met a lady by the name of Rahab. Over in the chapter 11, she's called Rahab the harlot. But she wasn't a harlot anymore, she's born again now. But they talked about reminding us about that. She was a harlot. And the Bible says They came to her house, and they hid in her house. They said, they were spying out the land, Israelites were, and he said, if you don't tell anybody, we're going to save your house. You have to stay in a house. Because these were powerful people, these Israelites, and they were spying the land, and they knew about them, that their God is a mighty God. And no one could withstand this God who is with them. So he said, if you tie out this scarlet thread in your window, when we come back, we'll not destroy your house. But anybody who comes out of the house, they will not be protected, but you have to stay within that house. You need to stay within the house of God. Walk with Jesus so that you'd be protected. You can't be just doing whatever you want to do and expect God to protect you. It's getting a little quiet you talk like that. I'm telling you the truth. You can't just get born again, just live any way you want and expect things to go right with you. You have to live within the confines of God's house. Follow the rules. And people don't like rules. They said, you can't tell me what to do. Yeah, no one can tell you what to do. Just go ahead and be broke then. And just do whatever you want to do. Be scared of everything. I was looking at this thing the other day. There was things about this scare, about this disease that's going around. Anybody heard about it? What's that disease called? You all know about that coronavirus, like the quoting the scripture. I understand what you're talking about. But I'm telling you, you can be protected. But the Bible says you have to stay within the realm of God. You can't just do whatever you want to do and expect it go drink all night, lie every day, and cheat people, and be mad at everyone, hold resentments, and be protected. If God speaks to your heart that you need to change something, you need to change. And then so that you don't get into trouble. I'm going to tell you, God lives inside you. And he's there right now asking you to start serving in the church and do things, help people. It gets even more quieter talking about that. Okay, so to what God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. See, we can't just preach to you like you're an old dumb sinner. We got to preach to you like you're king of your kings, and you have authority, and that you have power over the devil, and that you can live for Jesus. You can live clean. That it says in here, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God is not holding sins against you. He's not. Like anything you did in the past, he's not holding any sin against you. God loves every one of you. He loves you like you love Jesus. Amen. And if you're wrong in your life, begin to correct it. Whatever it is. God will speak to you directly, and that's why you don't have to preach about sin all the time. You might preach on something because if there's something wrong, you have to correct it. The pastor has to do that. He has to correct things in the church. That's his job. But we don't preach to you like you're a sinner. But we preach to you if there's something wrong, then yeah, we have to preach that. We don't call you out by name and say, you've been doing this. Come on over here. Look at this old sinner. No, you're a brand new creature. So God was in Christ and had committed to us a word of reconciliation. In other words, you and I have to tell people that they need to get born again. God accepted them. God loves them. God wants to be their God. God wants to live inside of them. God wants to help them, and he'll be your helper. He'll be inside you. God is in you. And that's a better way to get people to the kingdom of God. He tells us right here. He says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representation of someone else from another country. You represent the kingdom of God here. You're a representative of Jesus. Every one of us is a representation of God. So he says in here, ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in you in Christ's stead, as you be reconciled to God, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. God made Jesus a sin sacrifice. He put on Jesus, Isaiah said, he put on Jesus the penalty of sin. He took sin in his own spirit, and he died for us as a sinner, and he didn't have to do that. He died on the cross, a sinner. Yet he was a righteous man, and he went down to hell. And the third day, God raised him from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, you know, the Bible said, Scripture tells us that Jesus died for us. He had to die spiritually first with our sin, and then die physically, give up his body. And he went down, and he was quickened in his spirit. And he came up, his spirit was quickened, and it came back into his body, and his body was made alive. One day we'll all have a new body. So thank God. Yeah, we thank, you know, we need a new body. We need one now almost. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Because God lives in you, right now you are righteous. I said you're righteous. And you didn't do a thing about it. You didn't have to do anything. You're righteous right now. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man avails much. So your prayers is good as anybody else. Your prayers for yourself is the best thing that happened to you. You don't have to go and phone Kenneth Copeland. You don't have to call Joyce Meyer. You don't have to call Pastor Roma or Pastor Ken. No, please pray for me. No, pray for yourself, you lazy thing. Pray for yourself. Amen. You got to pray for yourself, and you have to learn to do that. And people sometimes, they don't realize, they think they have to get 20 people or 100 people or 1,000 people in order for God to change something in their life. You only need one or two people. And once you understand this, you're not going to be running around being in bondage to this idea that you have to call someone to change something in your life. Oh, my Lord. Almost passed out there. Praise God. You got to breathe sometime. Some people, I fall down. People think I fell into the spirit. No, he just has to breathe. Amen. I got about 9 minutes left. So Jesus became sin for us, and he didn't sin. God made him a sin offering. So we could be like him. So right now, you're like Jesus. You're an ambassador. You're him. You're with him. You represent Jesus. Right this second. We have received God's nature in us. Your old nature is gone. You know, when God, when in the 8th chapter of John, you know, the religious crowd was talking to Jesus and they're trying to kill him. They're religious people. They were thought they're serving God in their way, and it was against Jesus. And Jesus said in 8:44, he said, you're just like, you're trying to kill me. You're just like your father, the devil. He's a liar, and he's a liar from the beginning. And so, you know, people, God says anybody who is not of God, he says, you know, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, we have God's nature. We have the nature of God in us. Right now, your nature is a love nature. And we talked about that in our mentorship class last week. The first thing that happens to you when you get born again, the first thing that happens to you is that the love of God becomes so prevalent in your life. You begin to love people. You have such a love and compassion for people when you get saved. You got to love to, you start loving the Word of God. You start loving worshiping. When you're a child of God, you don't care if they're old people or young people or Chinese people, whoever they are. You just worship God with people. When I got saved, there was no young people around, as far as I could see in my church. I was in a Pentecostal church. And there was no people that I saw. There were young people, but I couldn't fit in that crowd. They were young. But I was kind of in this nowhere land, like some of you. Where can I fellowship? And so I fellowship with 60, 70, 80-year-old people. After service, we'd go and have milk and cookies and just laugh and have a great time in the Holy Ghost. I just had a wonderful time. Some of you need to learn that, right? You say, well, I have to have this kind of service. I got to have this kind of church, and these kind of people have to be there. They have to dress this way. No, not if you're in the Spirit. Amen. Get in the Spirit. You don't care what they look like. You need to get drunk in the Spirit. Just everybody's the same. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, in the Amplified Classical Edition, it says that God was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to in favor with himself. Because you're in Christ, because God lives inside of you, you have such favor with God. It's hard to believe, right? People look at that and like this. Yeah. Okay, it's coming to me. Okay, so God is not counting, he has such favor, he's not counting any kind of sin against you. So, there's a great scripture I was told when I first got saved, 1 John 4:4. And I remember this. You are of God, little children. John is talking to the people there. You are of God. I want to tell you that you are of God. And have overcome them. That is the devils. He's talking about the devils. Like, little children, you have overcome the evil ones. Right now, as a born-again Christ, because God lives in you, you can overcome every devil that's coming against you. Now, if you're just normal, a normal Christian that doesn't have this teaching, you'll be going, you got to get this inside you. Become a part of you so that when you get attacked, you can attack back. Or just protect yourself and not get attacked. Most time when people get attacked is that they leave their circle of, environment of the church, confines of the Word of God, and they go and do what they want to do, and then they get attacked. Okay? So we have overcome them, he's talking about the devils, because greater is he that is in you than is that he that is in the world. You have the greater one living in you, Christ in you. Right now, the greater one lives inside of you. Everybody say, the greater one lives in me. Say, the greater one lives in me. I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm not trying to be. I am an overcomer. Get up, stand up for a second. Say, I am an overcomer. Straighten up your shoulders. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Right now, where's that devil? Where is he? I'm an overcomer. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. Yeah. I'm telling you something. You know, when we get, in the church, we have to act tough. Practice in church. Because someday you have to stand up on your own. You have to stand up and you have to tell the devil when he's bugging you, just get up out of your house and say, where are you? Where are you? Come here right now. Amen. Tell him. Listen, I want to tell you something. Come here. I want to show you the scripture. Whatever you tell the devil, tell him something. I had to do that in different things at the time in my life. And yeah, it didn't look like it. I didn't feel like it. I felt like I was overcome. I was getting beaten. But you know what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You got to begin to understand once you have this inside of you, that Christ lives inside of you, that you're an overcomer. You cannot be defeated if you don't quit. We heard that sometime somewhere. In Hebrews 13:5, God says, Jesus said, or God himself says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. What part of that don't you understand? I will never leave you or forsake you. Never, never is never. So if you're in a hospital and you got a problem, just understand. Okay, so you got into trouble. Now you're going to get out of it. Because God said, I'll never leave you. Start using your faith. Get up there, overcomer. Come on now, you strong man of God, woman of God, get up. Start saying something. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my God. See, that's what you have to say. You've got to confess that every day for the protection to be there, to remind yourself that you're living in God. You're living in Him, working with Him. He's living inside of you. He's never forsake you. Get up every day. Say, God lives in me. I'm an overcomer. I'm not trying to find God. God's already inside of me. He lives in me. The Bible says, I believe the Bible. He lives inside of me right now. Let's give you a couple more scriptures and we'll send you off on your way. Remember about tonight, right? Bible school students and wives and husbands. You can come. Tonight's leadership, I'm inviting you that has been sitting there on your behind and not doing anything, you need to be at that meeting. If you're not working, I'm sorry about that if you're working somewhere. I just happened to look there. What can I look? I can't look anywhere. I look at Pastor Ken. He's always there. He's like Jesus. He's always there. With his mustache and smile. You don't know sometimes if he's smiling or not. Or sticking out his tongue. Praise God. Okay, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, look at your neighbor. Your neighbor is a little child. Say, hello, you little child. You know, back in the bed, people used to say, you little devil. But no, you're a little child, a child of God. Okay? He said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you, if you sin not, that if you sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate. An advocate is a lawyer. You have a lawyer in heaven that never loses a case. I said, he never loses a case. He said, my blood's cover them. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, my Lord Jesus, hallelujah. He never loses. If you something happens to you, if you make, you know, if people say, I made a mistake, I sinned. You've been planning that for a whole month. And don't lie about it. How many people know that they can sin in many ways? Like eating too much turkey is a lot of sin. You say, that's a small sin. Well, you know, we don't talk about that here. Okay, anyway. The third chapter, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because he knew him not. You know, we are right now, we are the sons of God, children of God. What manner of love God? God loves us so much that he calls you his son and daughter. If you had a son and daughter that's in trouble, I remember Brother Hagin was talking about a lady who was praying. He said to God, God, if I was in trouble, if you were in trouble, and I can help you, I'd help you. But I know I'm in trouble. I want you to help me. You know, if you had a child that's in trouble, and if you can help them, you'd help them, wouldn't you? Well, if you're in trouble, God wants to help you. Get out of trouble. Psalm 91:16 says, I'll be with him in trouble. He didn't promise that no trouble is going to come to you. He said, when you get into trouble, I'm going to be there. Because as long as you live in this world, you're going to have trouble. John 16, you know, talks about that. And John, I think it's 16:31, somewhere on there. He said, you know, in this world, you'll have tribulation, tests and trials and troubles. But be of good cheer. Everybody say, smile. So how is it when you're happy? You just quiet? No? When you're happy, you just woohoo! Right? You just get so happy. Some of you, like, how many of you are going to watch the, what is that called when they play football? Super Bowl. I don't watch Super Bowl, as you can tell. I do watch it. I get excited because everybody else is getting excited. But if your team is winning, you're happy, right? So we need to get happy. The Bible says, be of good cheer. When you have trouble, be of good cheer. It says, I've overcome the world. So because God lives inside of you, you're going to have to come out of that trouble if you don't give up. So don't quit. I'm going to give you one more scripture and send you home. Okay? I was going to give you a number of them, but the last verse of scripture in John 14, 16, and 17. Let me go to the last of John 14, 17. He said, he will dwell with you and shall be in you. God's in you. And Brother Hagin used to say, what the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So what is he doing inside of you? You know, he's doing a lot of things. He used to joke about it. He used to say, you know, what's God doing inside? Is he hitchhiking through life? Through you, getting a ride through you? You know? So God lives inside of you. He lives inside you and me. Right now, he lives inside of you. They're in the person of the Holy Spirit. So don't go look around for God anymore. Don't say, where's God? How come my prayers don't seem to, you know, reach the heavens? No, God hears every one of your prayer. He hears you all the time. You know, First Peter and 3 and 12, it says that God's eyes are over the righteous. You're righteous because of Jesus. He said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are attentive unto their prayers. And he's expecting you to pray. He's expecting you to say something to him. And so he can manifest the wonderful plan of God in your life if you just talk to him. Now, I wrote on my Facebook thing yesterday, T.L. Osborne says that there's some Christians that are always asking God, praying to God to do something for them, what God already has already done. What is he saying? He said, all you have to do is to know your covenant. Know your covenant rights. Go to the Bible, read your Bible, find out what's in there, and say, I believe the word, and go on. You can either pray it, somebody said, or say it. Because praying it is also saying it. You can just say, thank God, I believe it, I'm righteous right now. I believe I got this. I thank God that healing belongs to me. He said, himself took my infirmities. I believe it, Lord. Thank you so much for my healing. That's the highest kind of faith. Now, if you're still a baby Christian and you always need somebody to pray for you, then go ahead. If you need that, go ahead. We can do that. That's fine. But I'm expecting you as a pastor, your pastor, is that you believe that. You believe what we tell you. Now, we all pray for people every once in a while. Sometimes we need prayer. We need people to lay hands on us. And we'll do that. We want to do that. We should do it. But not as a rule. You don't always have to do that. What if you're not in the church somewhere and you need prayer? You can't get, you know, just have people sing hallelujah for 5-20 minutes and then come lay hands on you. You need help right now. And so that's why it's so wonderful. You don't have to do all these religious things so that God will do something for you. So thank God. Let's all stand. I got so much to say about this, or the Lord wants to say a lot of things about it. But some of you cannot bear it right now. Hallelujah. Can we get the music team up here? We could add a song. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord lives in us. You're going to go out to your car and say, isn't that wonderful? God lives inside of us. And then you leave here and get all scared. Hey? Thank you, Lord. Isn't this wonderful music team? Look at these guys, eh? Or women. We call them guys because it's safe. Call them guys. I can't get over these red shoes, man. I mean, I was just taken back. This is beautiful. Beautiful shoes. You're beautiful, woman. I tell you, you guys did a great job this morning bringing down the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen.